too great could I demand. And as I come in prayer unto the King of Kings, and humbly kneel before His holy throne, I know that my petition I can boldly bring, and that He delights to give unto His own. But if not, will I choose to love Him anyways? But if not, will He still be worthy of my praise? His great glory I proclaim if He delivers from the flame. But I will serve Him just the same. If not, I say, O Lord, I trust in You with all my heart, and I pray, O Father, let Thy will be done. But what if His will is not to grant my heart's desire, in order to bring glory to His Son? Will I still delight to do my Savior's bidding, when on my behalf He does not intervene? I know that I will praise Him if He answers, and when His hand a blessing can be seen. But if not, will I choose to love Him anyways? But if not, will He still be worthy of my praise? His great glory I proclaim if He delivers from the flame. But will I serve Him just the same? If not,
I know His grace will always be sufficient. I know His strength my weakness will perfect. I'll trust when it's beyond my comprehension,
that my needs He will supply, and my path He will direct. But if not, I will choose to love Him anyway. But if not, He will still be worthy of my praise. His great glory I'll proclaim if He delivers from the flame. But I will serve Him just the same. If not,
His great glory I'll proclaim if He delivers from the flame.
But I will serve Him just the same. If not,
thank you very much. Good song. Mark chapter 15. Find that passage in the Gospel of Mark. There are only 16 chapters in the book, so next to last chapter, Gospel of Mark and chapter 15. And we're going to go to the cross of Calvary this morning. Next week, we will, of course, recognize Easter. Every Sunday is a memorial to the resurrection. Every Sunday. And we'll go there, of course, especially next Sunday, Lord willing. But today we'll go to the cross for a few moments here in Mark chapter 15. If you found that place in the Bible, you're able to stand. Let's do so in honor of God's word. I'm going to begin reading in verse 29. Verse 29, the scripture says, And they that passed by railed on him. Now, we're in the middle of the crucifixion, okay? Wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Now, I want to speak on this subject this morning, foolish statements at the cross. Foolish statements at the cross. Father, would you help us this morning? I pray your spirit would have complete liberty. We need liberty, Lord, to enter into this together as a pastor and congregation. Lord, there is a lot of things going on in this world for each one of us, but nothing more important right now than the attention we need to give to your book. And so help us, as only you can, is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. During the hours that Jesus suffered the crucifixion, there were many things said by different people, starting in the Garden of Gethsemane until he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Many notable statements were made by different folk. In fact, the Bible records that Jesus spoke 7 times from the cross. Number one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Number two, he said, Verily I say unto thee, said this to the thief, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Number three, he spoke to his mother, Mary, who was there. Woman, behold thy son. She was standing next to the disciple John. And as soon as Jesus said to Mary, Woman, behold thy son, he continued by speaking to John, Behold thy mother. And the Bible says that from that hour, John took Mary into his personal care. The Lord Jesus, in the last few minutes of his earthly life, cared for his mother. You know, taking care of your children when they're small is a part of life. And so is taking care of your parents when they get older. We were out visiting yesterday, my wife and I. We met 2 different people in Wilmington who were caring for their parents. I commended both of them. He said, you know, they're in their early 20s. Not a lot of young people of that age in life care enough to take care of an aging dad and mom. But they were, and that is commendable. And Jesus, our example in everything, took care of his mother before he gave up his spirit. Number four, in the middle of the 6 hours on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Number five, he cried out, I thirst. Number six, he said, it is finished. And then number seven, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They did not take the life of Christ. He gave his life. No man can take life from God. And Jesus is God. He gave up his life. So those were the 7 statements made by Jesus from the cross. There were statements made by men during that time period as well. There were some statements of hatred. Crucify him! Crucify him! There were statements of regret. His blood be on us and our children. And it has been. It has been on the Jewish people. There were statements of exasperation. 3 times the Roman governor Pilate said, I find no fault in him. 3 times Pilate made that statement. There were statements of humble admission when the Roman centurion, after Jesus gave up the ghost and the earthquake came, the Roman centurion standing at the cross said, Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, there are 2 statements made by people that I want to draw our attention to for the message this morning. These statements are noteworthy, now listen, because they conflict with the great plan of Almighty God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, people, that the Bible says Jesus was, and I quote to you from Revelation, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because God knows everything from beginning to end aforetime, His plan for the crucifixion of His Son was determined before the world began, before it was ever created. And I want to show you two statements here that are really foolish statements because they conflict with the plan of God that came into being from eternity past. How old is that? That's more than you and I can comprehend. But it was always God's plan. Statement number one, look at verse number 30 in your text here. Statement number one, save thyself and come down from the cross. That was a foolish statement. Jesus had been placed on the cross. His hands and feet were nailed to that old rugged tree. And then it had been raised in the air, as was the custom of crucifixion, dropped into a hole evidently. And there the Son of God, God the Son Jesus, hung between two thieves, which, by the way, was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy from hundreds of years prior to the crucifixion. The Bible prophesied that He would be numbered. Isaiah prophesied He would be numbered with the transgressors. He hung between two thieves. He wasn't the transgressor, but He was numbered among them as He hung there on the cross. The Bible tells us in verse number 31 that some people, they passed by in verse number 31, wagging their heads in a mocking form. I can visualize it something like this. Mocking Him. Tisking. Saying, save thyself and come down from the cross. The chief priest of the Jews joined in with the same statement. He saved others. Himself He cannot save. And then the Roman soldiers standing guard by the cross, they picked up the cry. They said, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. Even one of the thieves hanging on either side of Christ, one of them joined in later and said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You can find all of that in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can find all of that. Save thyself, save thyself, save thyself, save thyself. Save four times. Save thyself. That is not why God the Father sent His Son into the world. God did not send His Son to go to the cross only to miraculously take Himself off the cross just to prove that He was the Son of God. God sent His Son to die on that cross. That is why Jesus came. And Jesus knew that from the beginning. He knew it from the beginning. And by the way, all these folks had ample opportunities to believe that He was the Son of God. They had ample opportunities. The people who wagged their heads, the chief priest who mocked Him, the Roman soldiers who gambled for His robe, the thief who hung beside Him, all had opportunity to believe. The truth of the matter is, the thief on the other side of Him did believe, and he expressed that belief while he was hanging on the cross. Jesus had already proved to them and multitudes of other people that He was the Son of God. He didn't need to do it again. He had proved that He was the Son of God through His words and through His works. The Bible tells us that. Jesus had walked. He had talked. He had worked among them for 3.5 years. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the blind saw and the deaf heard and the lepers were healed and the hungry were fed and the lame walked and some of the dead were even raised back to life. How many more works did they need to see? Another one? Another work? I mean, Jesus stopped a funeral procession and raised a boy from the dead, from the coffin. And you got to see something else. They heard Him speak on the mountains, by the sea, on the hillside, in the temple, standing in their streets, sitting in crowded houses, walking on their roads. And by the way, the Bible says, never man spake like this man. Nobody spoke like Jesus. What do they need to hear? Something else? His words and his works were ample proof of who he was. And now, at the very hour for which he was sent into the world, these people want more proof that he is the Son of God? Save thyself and come down from the cross. What are you talking about? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. No, friend. He is not coming down off that cross. He did not need to come down off that cross to prove he was God's Son by saving himself. That's not what he came to do. He came to die on the cross in order that we might be saved, that you might be saved. People, the reason Jesus stayed on the cross and died for us is because he was the only one who could die for our sin. Every other human being, anybody who ever lived in a human body on this earth, anyone in the past, present, and in the future, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their financial standing, no matter their educational accomplishments, no matter their good works, any other human being across the board was or is a sinner. The only one who ever lived in a human body without sin was Jesus Christ. The only one. No lies, no selfishness, no lust. No greed, no jealousy, no envy, no criticism, no murmuring, no idolatry, no disobedience, no rebellion, no whatever. None. Completely sinless. He was the only one that could die. And I was thinking about this week. There have been good men, and I'll tell you why I was thinking about it. There have been good men who sacrificed their lives to save others from physical death. Good men. Brave men, unselfish men. We've read their stories. We've read the stories of those who gave themselves in death during combat to save their fellow soldiers or citizens from dying. I'm reading a book right now that Luke gave me. Actually, this kind of works out pretty good. I gave Luke a book for Christmas, and he gave it back to me so I could read it. So he got to read it for free. I got to read it. You know, I bought it. You know, it all works. And so we're reading this book. He read it. I'm reading it now, called By Water Beneath the Walls. It's a book on how the Navy SEALs came into existence. It's fascinating. It is a fascinating book. And in that book, I'm only about that far into it. It's a good-sized book. But I've already read stories of men who sacrificed their own lives in death to save others. Now, that's a pretty worthy thing. That's nothing to sneeze at, okay? But, that being said, there has only been one perfect man who could die to save men from their sin. It had to be a man without sin. And Jesus met the criteria. He could and he did die to save you and me from our sin. That's why he did not come down from the cross. That's why he stayed on the cross. He came to die. And there's enough proof in the words of Jesus. And there's enough proof in the works of Jesus for you and me today to prove to us that he is God's Son. Here are his words. Read them. And know that he is God's Son. Sitting around you this morning are the works of Jesus. People whose lives have been changed, saved from their sin through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A man was sharing with me this past week. In fact, I think it was Wednesday night. After the lesson, I met him right back here, just walking around, shaking hands. And he was so excited. He said, Pastor, he said, I got to witness for the first time. It may have been Monday or Tuesday. He was pumped. I said, tell me about it. He said, my sister came to visit from a distant state. And while we were visiting, after being with each other for a little bit, she looked at the brother here in the church and she called him by name and said, what has happened to you? you are a different person. Well, I went through 48 steps of turning over a new leaf, pulled myself up by my bootstraps, and got myself all squared away, and I'm on the road to whatever. That's not what he said. He said, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I wish I could see some great work of God. I'll tell you something. That's better than a blind man getting physical sight. That's better than a lame man being able to walk. That's better than a hungry person being fed, because those are only temporal needs being met. When a man gets saved, when a woman gets saved, when a teenager gets saved, that fixes an eternal need. That's a work of God. There's enough proof. You know, I wonder what some people are waiting on to be saved. First, it's one excuse, then another. And once that excuse has lost its steam, well, here comes another one. People, do you really think if he had come down off the cross, they would fall down on their knees and say, oh, finally? I don't believe that for a second. No. That's all they were doing. Just another excuse. No. People, you know what that's called? That's called rejection. A person cannot be neutral about Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just going to kind of stand right in the middle, and, you know, some people believe and others don't, and I'm just kind of right. No. There's no middle ground with Christ. None. If you don't receive him, you reject him. I don't want to reject Christ. I just don't know that I want to get saved. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. It's receive Christ or reject Christ. You know what those folks were doing? They're save thyself. If you're Christ, save thyself. Come down off the cross. They were making another excuse. They were rejecting Christ. And I want to kindly say that rejecting Christ when it comes to salvation is absolutely foolish. Because there's nothing else you can do to have eternal life. Well, no. No. If you believe the Bible, if you have any ounce of belief in God's Word, there's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Referring to Jesus. That's it, folks. I don't know what some people are waiting on. I love the old song we sometimes sing here in the congregation. It's not one of the most well-known. He didn't come down. Oh, no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them. That's not Star Wars, by the way. That's what he said. Don't you know that right now I could call 12 legions of angels? Don't you think for a moment that those angels in heaven weren't just waiting to set him free? Okay? He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Can I say this morning, if you're not saved, don't wait any longer. No more excuses, no more rejection. Thank him for staying on the cross to die for your sin by receiving him as your Savior. What a foolish statement. Save thyself and come down from the cross. That's foolish. Statement number two, won't take me as long, is found in verse number 32. Look at it if you got your Bible. These people among these, the same folks that are around the cross, they're saying that, and I want you to watch this. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. Understand what they said. If Jesus comes down from the cross, then we will believe it. We will believe it if we see it. You know what they're saying, folks? Seeing is believing. Sounds sweet, doesn't it? One big problem. That is the direct, complete opposite of faith. Salvation is never received by sight. For by grace are you saved through sight? For by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus, being the Son of God, is believed by faith. Jesus dying on the cross is believed by faith. Jesus being buried in the borrowed tomb is believed by faith. Jesus rising from the dead is believed by faith. Salvation is received not by sight. Salvation is received by faith. Do you understand what they said? Just the opposite. They said seeing is believing. But God says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That verse teaches the exact opposite of seeing is believing. That verse teaches that we believe something that we have not seen has substance. We've not seen the evidence of it, but we believe it anyway. You say, I don't get it. But there's a great example in your Bible. Noah. When God came to Noah and said, build the ark because I'm going to send rain and I'm going to flood the world. Understand, there had never been any rain. Build an ark. I'm sending rain. They weren't anywhere close to a body of water. I'm going to destroy the world by water, by what's called rain. And Noah, without seeing it, having seen it, believed in the substance called rain. So how do you know that? He built the boat. Don't you think that's pretty good proof that he believed what God said? He built the boat. You say, well, it must have started raining. No, ma'am. It didn't start raining until the boat was finished. He'd never seen the evidence of rain, but he believed it. Now, here's the important facet of faith. We believe something that we have not seen, and it has substance. And we have not seen the evidence, but we believe it anyway because God's word says it's true. People, faith is not stepping out on nothing. I would never encourage somebody to step out on nothing. That's foolishness. Faith is stepping out on the truthfulness of God's word and believing it for no other reason than God said it. That's faith. That's what faith is. Look, I've not seen heaven, but I believe heaven has substance. I have not seen any evidence of it with my natural eyes, but I believe heaven exists because God's word says it does. And the same thing can be said about hell. I've never seen hell, but I believe hell has substance. I believe hell has substance. I believe it's a place. I've not seen any evidence of it with my natural eyes, but I believe it exists because God's word says it does. The people standing at the cross of Jesus said, well, if we see Jesus come down off the cross and save himself, then we will believe because seeing is believing. But that is not faith, and that does not please God. And I'm going to put it to you as plain as the Bible does. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Salvation is the result of believing before you see. Salvation is the result of faith. In order for you, me, anybody to be saved from their sin, we must believe in Jesus being the Son of God before we see Him. Nobody here has seen Jesus. We must believe he died on the cross, was buried and rose again before we see him. If we believe he rose again, then of course we know we'll see him. You must believe that he is, that Jesus is real, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross rather than coming off of the cross, that Jesus did that for you. That's faith. That's pleasing to God. And you know what it does? It results in salvation. And you know what salvation does? It gives you an eternal home in heaven as opposed to an eternal home in hell. What are you waiting for? Listen. Waiting to believe all that this book says until you see it will be too late for you to do anything helpful about it. You've heard that Jesus is coming again. If you take the I'll believe it when I see it approach, it's going to be too late to enjoy any of the benefits of faith. It won't be faith. It won't be faith. Jesus appeared to his disciples in an upper room on the evening of the day that he rose from the dead. And on that evening, he appeared to the disciples who were gathered together in the upper room. Thomas, one of his disciples, was not there. After Jesus appeared to the others, the disciples who were present, they found Thomas and said, Thomas! Jesus is alive. We have seen him. He appeared in the midst of our group. He's alive. You know what Thomas said? I will not believe it till I have seen it. And just a few days later, they were back in that same room, and this time Thomas was with them. And Jesus appeared, and he went right to Thomas. Isn't that interesting? Pastor, sometimes, man, you make these messages so personal. I feel like you're preaching right to me. I'm not preaching right to you. If you feel like that, you know who's speaking to you? Someone greater than me, friend. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I care for your soul, but Jesus Christ cares for you a trillion times more than I do. He went right to Thomas. What is that? The Bible says he held out his hand and said, Thomas, put your finger right here. In fact, put your finger right here. So what were those? Those were the wounds from his crucifixion. And Thomas didn't touch him. He said, my Lord and my God. Now I believe what he was saying. Now don't miss this. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You're born again, Brother Mike? Blessed are you. You believe, you've never seen. You're saved, Chandler? Blessed are you. You've saved, you've believed, yet you've never seen. Are you saved? Blessed are you. You've believed, although you've never seen. Now listen. Don't miss this. Thomas had time to see Jesus before Jesus went to heaven so he could believe. You have time to believe in Jesus whom you've not seen before Jesus comes back from heaven. So, well, when will that happen? Good question. I know this. No man knows the day nor the hour. Once Jesus leaves heaven, your time to believe before you see will be up. two statements that were really foolish because they go against God's plan. Save thyself, and seeing is believing. That's not God's plan. Christ died. And we believe before we see. That's salvation, friend. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. So heaven could be your home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Dear Spirit of God, would you please work on us today? I don't know the spiritual condition of everybody in this room, but you do. And I believe that you are working on the heart or hearts of some. I pray that today would be the day that salvation comes to that heart. As by faith, they receive Jesus, whom they've not seen, but believe that he is the Son of God, that he died, was buried, and rose again so they could have a home in heaven. God, if there's anybody here today, apart from Christ, would you please draw them to the cross? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. I wonder who's today would say, Pastor, I am saved and I know it. I have no doubt about it. I'm a born-again child of God. I've been saved. If that's you, could you lift your hand, please, right where you sit today, just as a testimony of it. Thank you. Is there anybody here that couldn't raise your hand and say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand? And I will admit, I'm at least concerned about it. I'm at least concerned about it. And I'll be honest enough to admit that. Could I see your hand this morning? Anybody like that? Just slip it up in the air. I can see it. Take it right back down. You don't have to make a big scene. That's not what it's here for. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm concerned about this. I do not want to enter eternity apart from Christ. Anybody? Heads are bowed. See a couple of children's hands. That's a blessing. It's easier for kids than it is for grown men and grown women. Just that matter of overcoming whatever it is. And humbling ourselves and saying, you know what, this is what I need. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that? If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, and you come today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come and prepare for that. And if you've come for that purpose today, you can begin to make your way to the baptismal. We'll get ready to do that. If you're here today, you're already saved, and you're glad you're saved, thankful for it. It's a wonderful thing to be born again. But you thank God in your heart this morning for the day that you trusted Christ by faith, believing without seeing. It's something, someone you've never seen has substance. That's faith. Father in heaven, work in our hearts as only you can. Do what needs to be done in the room this morning. I pray for anybody here without Christ. May they be drawn to him today is my prayer. In Christ's name I ask it. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And we're playing the song of invitation this morning. Now's a good time to come. If you're not sure that you're saved, tell one of these men down here. You know, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm concerned about it. They'll have a lady talk to any lady in the room. They'll have men talk to any man or boy. But now's a good time. You young children, not sure that you're saved, you feel the Spirit of God working on your heart, talk to your dad, talk to your mom. Would you come this morning? Not everybody in the room, I don't think, could raise a hand that they've been saved. I'm glad you're here. I've been praying for some of you to trust Christ as your Savior. I wonder if that would be today. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, salvation can come to your heart. Just humble yourself. Come, tell one of these men, I need to be saved. If anybody's prepared for baptism, now's the time to come before we dismiss here in just a moment or two while we wait.